everybody. Welcome to When Calls the Hallmarkies. This is our first episode of season six. It's very exciting. We're going to talk about episodes one and two of this season. And we're looking really forward to it. I'm Rachel and Ruth is here.
Hey, so glad to be back.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And yeah, When Calls the Heart is back. It's very, very fun.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Yes. And I was going to ask, so it's big change, a lot of big changes. We did our preview podcast. If I'll put a link down if anybody wants to check that out. Ruth, how are you feeling about the season so far, two episodes in?
It's my favorite season so far. Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it. I love it.
I completely agree with you. I think that there's something about the loss of the Elizabeth and Jack combination, mm-hmm. which was had its moments and had its sweetness. But
I'm not trying to disparage Jack's memory at all.
Sure, absolutely. But I just feel like with that gone, mm-hmm. the show feels more like an ensemble show.
Yes.
Which it always was, but there's just more of it this season, and I'm loving it.
Yes.
I think these are some of my favorite episodes. I've really been enjoying it so much. Okay. And I mean, these two episodes, we have just gotten to see from almost everybody, not just new characters. Yeah. I mean, every character has gotten a moment. It's been pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm very encouraged, and it just had a different pacing, because that's been my problem with the show. I like the show fine, but my biggest critique of it has always been it's felt a little slow to me. But I feel like the pacing has been really good these two episodes.
Oh, I can't believe how fast they go.
Yeah.
I know people always said they went fast, but it's like all of a sudden I'm not even looking at the clock. I'm just so into it, and I will even say I haven't even ended up in Twitter jail because I think I can't tweet as fast because I'm actually maybe that's because I'm so invested in so much that's going on.
Yeah,
I'm not finding that I tweet nearly as fast as I have in past seasons.
I agree with you. I mean I haven't tweeted. I did a little bit this last one, but I can imagine that would be the case. I agree. It's been really good. So, all right. Well, let's dive in. One question. Are you surprised they haven't had Kevin McGarry yet?
No, I'm not. Well, okay. Let me backtrack. I was initially kind of surprised when I heard that he wasn't coming in until season four. Someone told me that, but they'd seen the press releases and stuff, mm-hmm. and the pictures.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like he's in this upcoming either.
I was told, according to at least the press site with all the pictures and stuff, that he doesn't come until season four. Or not season four. Let me try to get
episode four.
That's what I meant to say. And so after I had chatted with him, you know, that he said that he comes in soon, but I was kind of thinking he was going to come in the same time as Chris McNally. But I guess then if you think about it, it would be kind of hard to have both of them maybe jump in on the same episode because you don't really have a chance to get to know him. This way you got to know Chris's character. And so I was initially surprised, but I'm figuring it will still that there will still be enough, you know, hopefully enough to get to know his character. I'm sure there will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just there's just so few, I think, episodes in the season. It just surprised me a little bit that they were waiting so long. But yeah, I'm sure we'll really enjoy when he does get here. But so this first episode, they start with the Elizabeth is back at work, and mm-hmm. so they have a schedule for watching Jack, And I did a little bit of research because I was curious about how a woman in that time period would deal with breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I didn't know if they had pumping or, you know, what they would do if you had to work. And I guess they did have formula as late as 1850s, which I thought was interesting. And it was basically like a canned milk, probably not the best for your kid, but that it was the late 1850s because during the Civil War, they, introduced canned milk for the soldiers and for the things. And so I guess that Nestle, back in its early days, that was one of the beginnings of Nestle. And it said that they first introduced infant food, and then there was a powdered milk that Nestle came out with. Then it was designed for big cities where there weren't any dairy cows nearby. So you could have the things, and then I guess it transitioned to formula, which I thought was really interesting.
Oh yeah. That is, I honestly hadn't even thought about that. I guess, but yeah, that would be something that would have to be considered. Because although we're not exactly sure how old, I mean, he's definitely not a newborn. I mean, she's definitely had time off with him.
Right.
Because I think the only indication that we have about time is actually in the second episode, because they make a comment in the second episode about that it's been almost a year since.
Oh, right.
Death.
Right.
And so that means that supposed to be, I guess the little baby must be somewhere around, 4 months, maybe 4 or 5 months, something like that. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that would make sense because, say she was, I don't know how pregnant she was when Jack died.
She was probably 6 weeks to 2 months pregnant by the time she would have, because lots of times they didn't know, you don't notice it within the first month. Lots of times it takes over a month before you notice it. So that's just my best guess. But yeah, that's an interesting thing I had not even considered. So that was great. That's very interesting.
Okay. So yeah. So she's having, in this first episode, she's having all of these women from around town that are taking shifts basically to babysit baby Jack. Yes. And he ends up all over town.
Oh yeah.
Passing him around.
Oh yeah.
Which was really funny.
Did you not love Flo? Yeah. It was so great. Like she's going to have just gossiping with, you can just see that now. Baby Jack grows up and is a gossip. That's his gossip partner. Yeah. That would be funny.
Yeah, it's in the second episode, but I did love that moment. I think it's Rosemary who's like, it's not really us who gossip, and then it shows the three.
Yeah, oh my goodness. That
Ellen, whatever, Gowan, and that was really funny.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. and then we have kind of Elizabeth sort of struggling with that because, she's, as any new mom, when she goes back to work, it's tough. It's very tough. Even though she loves the children, but it's hard to deal, to leave your child.
Yeah.
And so she's shopping and she notices Laura there at the store. Yeah. And that she's working. And so Elizabeth decides to, she applies Laura for sure she gives her some books.
Yeah.
And Laura enjoys reading those books. And so she applies for Laura for a correspondence school.
Yeah.
And basically she makes a deal with her that they can study and do the lessons, and she can be the nanny for Jack.
And wasn't that just the best?
Yeah.
I mean, that was so incredible. I mean, I saw that they were finally going that way, but at first it was just like, it was like, oh, Laura's not going to school anymore. She's working. Okay. What's, you know, you realize she's grown up so much. And I mean, man, you look at Janaea, she has grown up so much. And so then when I saw that that was the direction they were headed, I was like, oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
What an amazing part for Janaea to be able to.
Yeah. I assume you've interviewed her.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've actually got another interview coming with her. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She seems like they say some kids have an old soul.
Yes.
I feel like she kind of does. I like her. She's good.
Yeah.
She's really good. Yeah. And I think it's a good fit for her kind of playing this part.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. And my only real complaint about these two episodes is almost no Opal. She gives Elizabeth a thing of flowers, but that's about it. And I was expecting to get more because she just gave up brownie for goodness sake.
Well, I know. I read somebody else. I was trying to read some of the things people were saying, and I noticed another reviewer said something similar to that, but they did point out it's almost like maybe they're kind of trying to focus on different children and kind of give, if we're like every episode or something, maybe prominently feature a child in every episode. I don't know if that's their plan. But I think, I'm sure we'll see more from Opal. I have no doubt. In time, you know, it's like we're going to see more as the season goes on, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure too.
Yeah.
Opal, always more Opal.
Yeah. But on the flip side, we've seen a lot more of Jesse and Clara than we had in the past.
Yes. So we,
I think that's always, when you deal with an ensemble cast, you've always got kind of those trade-offs of, okay, if we're going to feature somebody you haven't seen as much, maybe somebody who's had a more major role might have to go take a back seat for an episode or two.
Right. So Jesse buys a parcel of land.
Yep.
And he shows it to Clara.
Yep.
Very excited. And she's kind of like, okay, where's the ring on my finger?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
Right.
And basically, so he's been paying like reparations for the crimes that he committed when he was with that gang at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so he feels like, well, I can't get married until I have those paid off.
Yeah, but yeah, don't you just want to knock some sense into him? Like, okay, just ask her. She doesn't know. She can't even say that we're even engaged to be engaged. Just ask her.
Right.
Because I think that she's kind of feeling, where is this going? Yeah, she understands what he's doing, and it's great that he explained that to her. I'm glad he did. But just ask her, even though she might have to wait. It was normal back then for them to wait, sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes 3, 4, even 5 years to get married because it took the guy that long to get the land, get the house built.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I think that they should definitely be engaged by for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, what's the difference between being officially engaged and being, we're waiting to get married until, like, there's no difference. Like, your life is exactly the same, I guess, if you're waiting to get some fancy wedding ring, but that's not the case.
I have a feeling that Clara would not even be that worried if it were some fancy engagement ring. She'd probably take just any kind of, even if it was some inexpensive ring that was just almost like a promise ring, like, you know, will you marry me? This is all I can afford right now. We'll make it a little more official after I've paid off, but
for sure,
because he hasn't even asked her officially yet.
Right.
And that's not, I don't think that's going to, I think that's, I think we see that that's why she's acting how she does in the second episode.
Yes. And yeah, I think it was pretty uncommon actually to have like a fancy wedding ring. Even like really rich people still just had gold bands for the most part.
Right. Because after all, you're doing a lot of manual labor. It wasn't
right.
Like, you know, and you didn't have a whole lot of money. So if you were able to, you know, just afford anything, just a simple, I think lots of times they were often just a simple gold band or something. Yeah. It wasn't even something, I mean, I think I've heard about that, but it wasn't always some, it didn't have to be some expensive, you know, diamond ring or something. Like
I said, I think even the really, the highest class people, I don't think they even had fancy weddings.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, so, most of the time with them, it was like an heirloom ring or something like that was being passed down. If it was very, you know, it was one, so it wasn't even, they went out and bought one. It was just, here's, this one's being passed down through the family. And
So, I agree. I think he's, I mean, there's just, there's going to be people that are interested in Clara. He needs to lock that down.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Because who is it who gives him that advice about her not being, there was, I think it was in the second episode, someone gives him the advice of she's not going to be unmarried for very long or something like that.
Well, there's that, and then there is somebody also says the same advice. I think it's Leland.
He I says think that's the same right. Yeah.
Thing to Carson too.
Yeah. Right. Right.
About faith. Right. But anyway, so yeah. But it was cute. I do think we are going to see a lot of them this season. Yes. I think they're going to be very focused. So that, and I think they have a pretty nice chemistry together. So I'm
looking forward to that. I've loved them. I think we just haven't seen, you know, last season we hardly saw them at all. So I'm really glad that the writers kind of realized, okay, let's feature them. But then we just have to realize that when they get featured, someone else we really like might just have to take a back seat for, you know, a little bit. And so that's why I'm sure, I have no doubt that the writers know that Opal is going to, has to have more of a prominent role. We know that. We know that.
Right. Yeah. 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 So we also have that Tom, the saloon owner, is closing down shop.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving to be with his wife, I think. Yep. Right. Or something. Anyway.
Something like, I honestly don't remember the reason.
It was something like that.
Yeah. Something like that, but I don't remember. I'm sorry. If people know, they can correct us.
That's okay. Yes. And so Bill decides that he is going to buy the saloon. He thinks it's a great idea. He asks Abigail to sell his shares in the cafe so he can buy the saloon. Mm-hmm. And then she's not excited about that idea.
Right.
And so then he asks Leland and at the same time, Gowan has just asked Leland to invest in him buying the saloon.
Yep.
And Bill says, bit of a gamble to go with Henry. Sure thing you don't want to go with me. And you know, of course, Leland says, I got to talk to Rosemary first.
Yep. Well, you know, that's one smart guy. That's pretty smart.
I do really love, I loved that whole scene though, where they're both trying to win Rosemary over.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That scene was hilarious.
Was really good. And they're like, we'll build you the biggest stage to ever exist. And
we'll rename it. We'll call it Rosie.
Right.
That's right.
So it was really fun. That was really good. And then we find out at the end that Tom is fed up with all of this.
Yep.
And he has sold it to a mysterious stranger. They're going to meet.
Yes, because I tell you, Henry and Bill missed out because I thought, because as I was sitting there watching that, well, I knew.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I knew Chris McNally's character was going to come in. I mean, we knew
right. That.
So we knew that was going to happen. But there was still that part that like, oh, wouldn't that be interesting? Bill and Henry together. What an unlikely combination that would be.
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
So I think that's interesting. I think it's very interesting to see how much things have changed somewhat between them. It's kind of like Bill's not ready to say to completely trust Gowan, but he's maybe warming up to the idea a little bit more. I mean goodness, he was gonna go into business with him. I mean,
right,
there had to be something.
Yeah. And I think everybody's warming up to Henry Gowan.
Yeah.
More and more. So then we also have Rosemary is playing matchmaker with Carson
goodness.
And Faith.
Yes.
And
yes.
She has a dinner and has him over for dinner.
Yes.
And then it makes it kind of obvious that's what she's doing.
Yep.
And then they're walking home and...
Yes.
And Carson says something like, can you believe they wanted to, you know, set us up together or whatever. And then he's like, that's ridiculous. And so Faith is very kind of, ugh.
That's what? I was like, Carson, you are such a man.
Right.
That was exactly what I said. He was, because that is, men just are not, they don't think, he didn't realize that he'd said the wrong thing.
Right.
Because he was just saying, well, that would be ridiculous. And a Faith's expression was just perfect. Like, you could tell instant, like, she was instantly cold. Like, she couldn't believe he said that.
Well, and I loved how Rosemary was mad at Lee for not bringing Carson and Faith together. And he's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, force them? And then, like, Faith is mad at Carson.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
And you knew that the infirmary was a little bit frosty the next day.
Yes. That's right.
Which is just great. I mean, I will admit that I was not necessarily... I know there's a lot of division. I mean, I've read the posts about, you know, people want Carson and Faith together, they don't want Carson and Faith together, I mean, et cetera, et cetera. It's quite a discussion. I mean,
yes, of course.
I didn't realize how many opinionated people there were out there. There are very strong opinions.
Yeah, Team Infirmary.
Because the way I noticed this is another website ended up running a poll. They ran a poll to see if Faith and Carson should be together. And they quoted my interview with Paul Green.
Uh-huh.
I posted that in one of the Facebook groups, and I mean, people just went crazy. and I'm not saying that they were mean. I don't mean that they were mean at all.
Uh-huh.
It was just that their strong opinions came
right.
out. It was like, this should never happen. Those two should never be together. And then it was, well, of course, they have to be together. You know,
very vocal.
It was. I had no idea that there was that much. There were that many strong opinions about this. But what I will say is I think that the way that they're, at least in these two episodes, I know we've only talked really about the first one, but in these first two episodes, I think they've handled the storyline really well. I think it's been played very well between Carson and Faith. And I found it really enjoyable to watch.
I do as well. I don't think that they have like insane chemistry,
no,
but I'm kind of curious to see where it goes.
Yeah.
It's not bad or anything, but I don't know. And so I'm curious to see where it goes. It was definitely very funny and I liked it, especially getting Rosemary involved was brilliant.
Oh yeah.
And the last thing that we have in this episode is we've got Fiona. We get introduced
to
Fiona and her
ankles.
Right. And her flicking the circuit board and starting the telephone, and she's going to be the circuit board operator or whatever. That's the new thing. Do you like Fiona, or are you kind of suspect of her? How do you feel?
No, I actually like her. I don't think that she's up to anything other than she just is a very modern woman. I mean, it's kind of like Hope Belly is stuck in, you know, maybe like the really early 1900s. And she's modern from the city, like we're interested to bring, and so I think that the only people who are really going to have problems with her are going to be those that don't want the change. You know, they don't want things to become modernized. I honestly think that's all. Now I could be completely wrong, but I don't see that she's up to no good or anything. I just think that she represents the modernization of Hope Valley, and some people are resistant to that change.
Right. I can see that. Yeah.
I could be completely wrong.
There are a few things in this, we'll talk about in this next episode, she does that make me wonder if she's a little shady. She's pretty in cahoots with, she's helping Bill out and stuff.
Well, yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen with her. It's going to be interesting. So anyway, this episode 2, we covered some of what they talked about, but you have Laura as the nanny going forward, so that's good. That's a good situation. Yeah. And then the main thing with Elizabeth was pretty minor in this episode, but it was her teaching Timmy how to ride a bike.
Oh, that was sweet. Yes.
Yeah, that was sweet. I mean, I guess they didn't have like things like training wheels and stuff back then. You just had to learn.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was neat. And the other thing I really liked was the way the second episode started, because I was almost getting a little bit emotional just because she was remembering Jack and she visited the place where their names were carved. And so, I mean, that was kind of that opening was, I thought, a nice tribute to just, you know, it was reminding us all that, you know, yes, she's moving on, but she still remembers Jack.
I mean,
which of course she's going to, but it's nice because, I made the comment, back when the Christmas episode aired, that what I liked was that she was having that time to go back and to think about Jack. And to remember Jack, because sometimes in some of these ones when they're on the prairie, they don't get, I feel sometimes that the stories, the movies, that the women don't grieve enough. It's kind of like they're almost ready to move on way too fast. Mm-hmm. And I realized things were different. I understand that. But it's nice to see that they're giving Elizabeth some time to grieve, to remember Jack, and to realize that she's not just going to jump on and completely move on without remembering him.
Well, and if they do have that grieving period, a lot of times we don't get to see it at all.
Right.
Like all of a sudden, it's like in the Love Comes Softly movies, for instance.
Right. And you're right. They did grieve, but we didn't see it. And I guess that shared it very well. It's nice to see that we're getting the chance to at least get a little peek at her grieving, you know, we get that little, and I really say kudos to Erin Krakow. She's doing an excellent job. I've been so totally impressed with her this season. I mean, more so than ever before. I think I've been just amazed at the way that I think that she's played her part exceptionally well.
Yeah. She's done a really good job.
She always does, but I feel like it's almost on a different level. Like she is, it's risen to this new level, maybe because she has to carry that storyline and she doesn't have the love interest to carry it. It's maybe
She's always been great with kids. And so,
and seeing her with the baby, that's just, oh my goodness. She's not only great with kids, but she's great with the baby. It's so sweet.
Yeah. So we get to meet, the biggest part of this episode is getting to meet Lucas.
Yes.
And dealing with Lucas and Chris McNally, who we all love.
Yeah.
And like, it's so funny to me because I feel like the main like shifty thing that he does is like taking quarters out of people's ears. That's like really like out of control. This guy cannot be trusted. And I think it's really funny because so Bill, of course, hates him immediately.
Oh, well, yeah. This is the guy that came in and kept him from going into partners, you know, becoming partners with Gowan and going to the saloon.
Yeah, and supposedly he comes from New Orleans, and so Bill is out looking to see what's going on. Where did he come from? He has a French name, but like doesn't really speak French, but maybe
French. He does speak French.
Yeah, later on.
when I saw that, I was like, oh, he was lying.
And so, yes, he is going to be revolutionizing the saloon. He has a new name for the saloon.
Yep.
And I forgot to write that down. Do you remember?
I forgot to write it down. Yeah.
But anyway, he has a new name for the saloon, and he's going to do this big grand opening.
Yep.
And he is getting all kinds of fancy stuff in for this. He's getting caviar. Yep. And salmon and all this stuff, which I obviously there's some kind of ulterior motive, because I don't think these people are paying for fancy food.
Right. Yeah, I know. There's definitely something a little bit shady about him. I know. I realize that.
Yeah.
Because of course, the final scene of the episode, you see him with all this money, and it's like, you know, what's, you know, all that, and like, where, what's going on with that? But this is what I will say is Chris. When I interviewed Chris, he said he's not as bad as Gowan. That's what he said. He doesn't have the edginess that Gowan had. So I guess I'm thinking, he's shady. But I'm not thinking that it's going to be, I think that right now we're being led to believe that we're seeing it more from Bill's perspective, and we're being led down this path of he's really horrible. He's, you know, robbed a bank or he's been embezzling funds or something. You know, you have this whole thing of, you know, he's some wanted criminal, and he's changed his name or something, and I have this feeling that when it comes down to it, that's not what's going to happen. He just is a mysterious stranger, and that's part of his persona,
the mysterious stranger that takes quarters from people's ears. They must have had him do that like 3-4 times. It was so funny to me. I'm like, this is a scoundrel.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, yeah. Bill is making him like get all the fish out of the, you know, the crate.
I know. That was a funny scene.
And he's also trying to get work there at the saloon. And Clara applies because her logic is she's hoping that she can make enough working two jobs that it'll make, you know, move this thing along more quickly. But Jesse doesn't like that. So,
because she seems to be quite intrigued by Lucas. And I think he's getting a little bit worried. Rightfully so. Maybe that will push him in the right direction.
Right. And we also get Lucas meeting Elizabeth.
Yes.
And she says, I prefer reading books. and he says, oh, you're intelligent. I knew it. And he figures out that, she is the school teacher.
Yes.
And there you go. That's kind of fun. And then later on, she figures out that he's told that, you know, her husband died.
Yeah.
And so there's that. And, and then he has hired a chef.
Yeah.
And, he says, says, this town is growing, and surely there's room for one more restaurant. Uh-huh. And he tells that to Abigail. And then we find out that Gowan, I guess, is very busy investing in the stock market.
Yes.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
Very. Abigail's like, I don't know about this, but she decides to, she talks to him about it, and he tells her, life is one big gamble, Abigail. Only question is, do you want to make a profit?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of Henry Gale in this episode. How did you feel about it?
Well, I mean, personally, I don't really see still, I mean, yes, there's a connection between them. I don't see a romantic connection, but that's just that, but I'm not going to be upset if there is one day. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it that way, but I know that some people do, and that's fine. I mean, I think that they keep that a little bit ambiguous for a reason, because that way you can kind of like, yeah, like, oh, look, there might be a romantic connection. And then there's the people who there might not, there's definitely not the romantic connection. I like the fact that they have a friendship and that she's believed in him all this time. And she is definitely a big part of the reason that he has reformed his ways.
Yeah. I mean, she bailed him out of jail, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
So of course, and I think this will probably be the next sort of version of Mounty Molasses, and it's going to be very slow.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like there is definitely a romantic thing happening here, but I definitely would be surprised if we get any more than like a very little kiss maybe by the end of the season. But
well, remember, there's another person coming that.
Oh, right. You're right. I forgot about him.
Don't forget about that. That does happen. But there is someone else from her past that comes. So
I'm glad you reminded me.
I am not saying that that means that there won't be a romantic connection.
Right. And a very handsome person for her.
Yeah, right.
So. I forgot about that. You're right. Mm-hmm. So she gives him, she's going to give him $2, and then she gives him $5 to invest in the stock market. Yeah. And because he's just doubled his money, it's very exciting. And so, oh, I did write down the name. The new name is Queen of Hearts.
That's right.
Yes.
Very good. Yep.
And you do have a great scene with Rosemary coming in offering to perform and all things. And I mean, it sounds like this, whoever's coming to perform, it's going to be pretty scandalous. I think it's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, in the world of, we're talking a whole Valley scandal. So right. Probably, yeah, we have more conversation between Jesse and Clara. And I like how Clara stuck to her guns and she says,
yes.
Do you think this is your decision to make? I liked that. That was good. And
he has not followed through with asking her officially to marry him.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the episode, she refers to him as her boyfriend. And I just thought, isn't that weird?
Right.
Because they should be engaged.
Right. Yeah. They
but
really
he
should.
Hasn't done what he needs to do. So she's waiting on him to, but she's not just going to stand around and wait for him. I mean, for him to do that, she's going to go on and take care of herself.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. And so Claire does end up getting the job. Mm-hmm. She's working at the party. And so Lucas teaches Cody the quarter magic trick.
Yes.
And Fiona tells Bill that Lucas placed a call to Kate Fullerton talking to a woman in French, and he said Hope Valley is perfect.
Yeah.
So that's pretty shady.
Right. Yeah, and I know that, yeah, while Fiona is listening on calls, we know that that is like the oldest. That has been so many of stories, you know, these frontier stories when they get the phone. I mean, I thought of Little House on the Prairie. And Mrs. Olson listening on all the phone, because she was the switchboard operator.
You even had that as far forward as something like Pillow Talk them, you know, having to share the line.
So I don't really think that makes Fiona automatically shady. I just think that, yeah, she technically probably shouldn't be listening in, but like she said, she gets to listen into the first 10 seconds to make sure that, but we know that she listened to much more than the first 10 seconds. So she's probably nosy and probably is this woman that likes to know all the gossip but then she's passing it on to Bill and
right.
the sheriff.
Yeah.
I guess that's better that she's passing it on. I mean, thinking of that she has no history with Hope Valley. It's better that she's passing it on to the sheriff. She knows nothing. I mean, she's just, you know, he's a sheriff. He needs to know this information. Rather than going and sharing that information with say, Rosemary or Flo, so that everybody, I mean, there is that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I could see her becoming at least less trustworthy person, but I think she'll just be sort of a conduit for information more than anything else.
I mean, she was trying to make a connection with Flo. You have to give her some credit that she tried to make a connection with Flo because Flo didn't think much of her, but she really did try to make that connection, showing her about the telephone and all that. And so, I mean, I think the interesting thing will be, I don't know how long she is in Hope Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like she could be gone, but is she going to stay? And I think it'd be great, you know, if she hooked up with one of the guys in town.
Yeah. Cause I like her. I think she's fun.
Yeah, she is fun. She is fun. Yeah.
And so Lucas, he's just the best. He's really a really good sort of shifty guy.
Yeah.
And Chris McNally is just so mm-hmm. charming.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, okay, I believe you, even though I don't believe you. I don't know. He's just great.
Right.
And he's doing a really good job, I think, with the role. Even Amber said that she likes him much more than she expected to. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then we find out that supposedly Henry comes in and says that Abigail's doubled her money, gives her $10, and then leaves. Well, then she ends up talking to Leland and says, oh, well, it totally went bust. It was a loss. Don't tell Rosemary. And then she goes and talks to Henry, to Gowan, and says, you know, that's all right. I didn't invest more than I could afford to lose. And it was cute. It was a cute moment.
That was nice, because for a moment I thought, oh no, is Gowan going back to his old ways? My mom's like, no, he just did it to protect Abigail. And so, I mean, my mom picked up on that.
He's very protective.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really cute. And they had definitely a moment where I thought they might be dancing together at the end.
Right.
It was really cute.
Well, and don't forget the little moment with Lee and baby Jack. Because there was a little moment, I don't remember exactly when in this episode, but where Elizabeth has her lunchtime, if I remember right. I think it's her lunchtime at school. Mm-hmm. And she's able to bring the baby by to show, like, they haven't seen the baby in a while. And she kind of brings the baby to show the baby off. And you see Lee is so excited to see the baby. If I remember right, I think he holds the baby, doesn't he? Am I right on that?
I think so, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And then Rosemary, you can tell, looks at him. And you can see this look of wow, he would be such a great father. You know, you can just see it written all over her face. He's absolutely loving. I mean, I loved, it was a very small seen, but I think that that told a lot by watching their expressions.
And yeah, you could tell that Rosemary was kind of sad.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. she was. And I'm, you know, I mean, as I've predicted, I mean, I still keep predicting, and I think we've all kind of said this, that they're probably going to end up going the route of adoption, because we kind of tend to think that maybe Rosemary can't have a child. That's just a prediction. We don't know anything, and so nobody needs to come and say we're spoiling anything. We're making a prediction.
Yeah, this is speculation.
Right. And we're just kind of sticking with that prediction just based on little snippets that we've seen and just different, it's a lot of expression, you know, facial expressions and just little things. And judging by what Kevin has said about the fact that he hasn't said that they're going to have a child, but he said it's going to be an issue, they're expanding their family is going to be an issue that's dealt with this season.
Right.
And he said that it's really great the way they deal with it. And it's like, okay, you know, so all that, you start adding everything up and think,
Right. Yeah.
So that's, and it would probably make sense, because you think of how long they've been married and she hasn't had children. And back in the day,
right,
that didn't happen.
Right.
Unless the woman was having a hard time conceiving, she was having children right away, because they didn't have all the contraception stuff, methods that they have now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think I see that happening.
Right.
So that'll be really good. We have Rosemary talking with Carson and with Faith and the two of them, because it's very icy in the infirmary. And then you also have Leland talking to Carson.
Yeah.
And it's, he's just like, why did I say that? That was stupid.
Actually, that isn't, now that was good. I was glad to see that he was smart enough to go back and figure out what he did wrong, because lots of men wouldn't do that. So I think that shows that Carson is sensitive, does care. He does care about Faith. I mean, the fact that he said, we work together. I don't want to think of her that way. I mean, he's thinking of the old ramifications of, we work together, we fall in love, we start dating, and then things don't work out, and then what happens?
Right.
And how does that affect, how does that...
If I were her, I would just say, I managed to be friends with Jack, and things didn't work out.
That's true.
There you go.
That's true.
Proof of concept. But anyway, so then we do get a moment at the party that between them, and they dance, and he says, you look lovely tonight. And he says something like, I think you're special. Yes. And then they dance. So it was really cute. And Paul Green is just the most dashing man I have ever seen in my life. He's great.
Yes.
And you also had a cute scene with Elizabeth and Timmy, I believe, playing the duet.
Yes. That was so neat. That was so smart. Yes. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Yeah. It was really cute. And Abigail gives the money back.
And don't forget the whole thing, going back to the thing with Carson and Faith. There's that moment that Abigail, even you can look at her face and she looks at the two of them, and even she realizes there's something between them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. You know, it's like everybody can see the connection between them except Carson.
Right. Yeah. I had a very similar experience happen to me where there was a guy that I have been interested in that's just a friend at this point. And it was just interesting because I went to a movie with with another one of my friends, and they were both there, and so I introduced this friend to my friend, and we are all talking and everything like that, and she texts me after, she's like, you two would be the best pair ever, like on her own. I didn't even say anything, and I was like, I know, if only he could see it, then that would be perfect, but he's not. But anyway, and so just as soon as that happens, we're just like, why can't you not see it?
I know. Well, I think that goes back to That's why I say, and I don't say it, I don't mean it in a mean way, but Carson is a man and he's acting like a man, because yeah. Men often are slow to see those kinds of potential connections, if they even see them at all. And they often need gentle nudging on someone's part.
Right. I need a Rosemary in my life. I need to get Amber involved in this. Yeah. She's the perfect.
Yeah.
Amber is basically Rosemary my Rosemary.
Probably a bit of too much. That might be a little too strong.
That's
right. But it did make Carson it made Carson realize he needed to say something and he needed to apologize. The fact that he apologized shows his character. And so that was nice. And, and you know, based on the previews, and of course I know the previews are always, they're always, people make a lot of assumptions based on the previews.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm careful on that, but at least it looks like there's more to come between the two of them. I'm not saying we know how it's going to end, but there definitely is still more. We're not done with the whole Faith and Carson thing. It's not over yet.
And I'm really enjoying it. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
And then we get Abigail and Gowan talking.
Yeah.
And I think she says, well, nobody's perfect. And then he says, don't I know it?
Yeah.
Really cute. And then the last scene of the movie, or not movie, the last scene of the show is Lucas digging underneath the ice of the crate and finding a chest thing of money. And then he puts it in the safe. And that's, I think, very suspect.
Right.
What is this money?
Right. Yeah. And one more thing about Lucas, this was a funny moment. Because I'm really glad I've got my mom sitting there, because there are times when I'm either when I'm tweeting or I look down for a moment and I miss something. And so there's the whole conversation at the party between He's played by Jack Wagner.
Bill.
I know his name is Bill. I struggle with that regularly. I've been known to say the person that plays, and I'll say what their real name is, and it's like, no, it's not the person who plays that. That's who plays the
right
person.
Yeah,
because so often it's like I especially when I really get to know the people, I stop and think, what's the name of their character? I mean, I'm sitting there watching the movie and I'm calling them by their real names. I don't even care what their name is, you know, but in this case, yes, you have Bill and Lucas, and Lucas, and everything that Lucas is giving away at the party is for free. And Bill doesn't want to have that drink for free. He's like, he's insisting on paying. And so he's going down on the bar. And they have this whole conversation, and Lucas walks away. And then once Lucas is gone, Bill looks around, picks up the coin, and puts it back in his pocket.
Bill isn't falling for that quarter out of the ear stuff. Like,
but it was funny because initially I missed that. I just looked down to tweet, and my mom starts laughing. Oh, that was so funny. I'm like, what was it? And she said, run it back. So that was when I was very glad that I was able to run it back and see what
That's so funny. Yeah. Well, I just love these two episodes. I thought they were great, and I'm really excited about the season.
Yes.
And so great job. Way to go. And we did get some comments on our Twitter.
Okay.
So we have from Moments with Mercy. She says, Team Infirmary.
Yeah,
I've wanted them together for forever. Clara and Jesse are adorable, and I'm really liking the mysterious saloon owner.
Oh, yeah.
Fiona is growing on me as well. A great season so far.
Yeah.
Casey said, Hallmark reward, she says, I love Lucas. That is all.
Okay, and
she says she's about to start a Team Lucas fan club. Many want to join, following her. I went in.
Now, on that, isn't it surprising? I honestly am surprised that so many of the Hardys are on, like, Lucas's side.
Yeah.
Like, I really am surprised. But then as I was reading the comments, people don't want Elizabeth with a Mountie because she's already been with a Mountie. And I never considered that. I'd never thought about that. the main reason I was on Lucas's side was because I liked the edgier characters. Right. And then after talking with Marcus Rosner, who's friends with Chris McNally, you know, Marcus telling me all these wonderful things about Chris, and like, okay. And I figured I was going with the underdog, and now it's like I find out, nope, he's not the underdog. He's like the favored. And I, oh, okay. This is interesting. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it's true. I think a lot of it is to be completely honest, is just how dreamy he is. He is handsome.
No,
everybody's very excited about it. And also, everybody just loves quarters. It's not the real reason. But anyway, so... Emma Rose, she says, I'm loving this season. It's super refreshing. I'm not smitten with Lucas. Too enigmatic for me. Ooh. I like wittier, bolder male characters best, and he's not much fun. But the storylines are great so far. Henry's redemption arc is better written than I thought it would be. So there you go. Amy Lynn Craig says, fantastic. Jesse and Clara are making this season for me. Also, the Carson Faith thing and Rosemary totally being like a shipper is the best thing ever. So Waiting in the Pumpkin Patch, she says, really liking it so far, and I think the new characters are introducing the new storylines well. One complaint so far, where's Opal? Yes. Laura Ann Marie, she says, I've only watched one episode and I really enjoyed it. Love the ladies and I can't wait to learn more about Lucas. I definitely will be watching the rest of the season. Caroline Richardson says, honestly, it's my favorite season yet. The storylines are so good. I mean, baby Jack, hello. Henry Gale spending time together. Elizabeth learning how to balance motherhood and work. Yeah. So there you go. And so that's basically it. And it's a big hit. They did a great job. And the ratings, I guess, are through doing very well. So
yes.
Very, very exciting. Yeah. And so what we are going to do, we will be back in 2 weeks to talk episodes 3 and 4.
Oh, good. So that means that the next time we come back, we'll get to talk about the new Mountie. So that'll be
very good. True. So that'll be really fun.
And it's very possible that once the Mountie comes to town, that I may find out that I love him more than I thought I would. I mean, it's I'm not going to say that can't happen.
Sure. I believe it. And so anyway, it's very exciting. We're really happy about it. So let us know in the comment section or on Twitter what you think and of the things we've talked about, what your feelings are. We'd really love to discuss it. And so thanks so much, Ruth. You're the best. And where can people find you?
People can find me on my my website is mydevotionalthoughts.net. And then you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at RuthHill74. And also my Facebook page is My Devotional Thoughts.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media and recently on Rotten Tomatoes, which is very exciting. And so I'll have those links down below. You can check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast, Hallmark News Pod, all of our social media and on iTunes and YouTube. We really appreciate if you put in your ratings and reviews on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. And if you can give us a thumbs up if you're listening on YouTube, that would be great. So thanks so much again, Ruth. And we'll look forward to the next time we talk, next 2 episodes.
Well, thanks for having me. It was great. And I'm definitely looking forward to this weekend.
Yep, should be good. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, everyone.